dang, it's midnight. Haven't been up this late unless I'm at a race. Just finished up a Pot Limit Omaha 8 high low and got second place. Cashed, I was pretty low stack, short stacked as they call it. And then made the final table. I was definitely short stacked, 8 guys on the final table. And I managed to double up a little bit and ended up getting second overall. So I was pretty happy with that. But need to go to sleep now. But I wanted to go through some endurance Twitter for April 29th. I guess now it's actually April 30th. Rich Gonzalez receding for the 53rd Arcadia Invitational during completion of the 42 events contested across the state so far this year. State leader in 38 of those events has signed up for the meet. Californians only at Arcadia this year because of COVID, so they're limiting that. But should be a really good race. When I started coaching at Bakersfield High in 2006, I hadn't really heard about Arcadia Invitational, but boy, I had my track athletes. It's all they talked about. And basically making it, it's pretty difficult. Friday's kind of the sprint relays and you know, all the relays and medleys. And then Saturday is the main event. So it will be next weekend. This weekend on Saturday is Buchanan High School is hosting the West Coast Relays. And that's a great meet as well. A lot of top performance. It's more of a traditional invitational track meet. In fact, last year I actually sponsored the 3,200 races, so really looking forward to following that. Hopefully, the Arcadia meet is usually live on the internet. Hopefully, it'll be free, but it's usually by runner's space. Flipping through here, Candace Burt, who is the race director of the Tahoe 200, Moab 240, and the Bigfoot 200. She's the one who came up with these 200-mile races that are, you know, point-to-point or around the lake like Tahoe. And in fact, there's going to be one coming up that someone else is doing, the Concordia 250, which is going to be run out in the Arizona desert. I think it's going to be starting on Monday. But Candace says, might sound counterintuitive, but small daily goals are the key to incredibly long-term changes and success. Daily small goals add on as you are able, but this way you have no excuse not to start. Starting is the hardest. Momentum is power. And that's definitely true. Kind of treat you telling people that all the time. I'm hitting buttons that I didn't want to hit. Again, kind of a big story yesterday. Big drama in Ethiopia. The great Kenneth A. Bekele is protesting Ethiopia changing its Olympic marathon selection process. Says he's fully healthy and ready to represent the country. But they're going to be doing the trials, I think, this weekend. And they were going to be in Europe. Now they're going to be in Ethiopia. And it's a shame they're going to leave him off the team since he's been gold medalist on the track. And it'd be great to see him run in the Olympics. I mean, he's got the second fastest all-time. He ran 2019, and I think also like the third best all-time and the 10th best all-time. Ethiopian guys are not planning on running the race either, so they're kind of crazy, but you know, they're kind of doing what the United States does, is, you know, the top three, and they're the ones who make the team. And of course, we had our race last year on leap day, February 29th, and unfortunately, you know, it's, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, show up top three, you go, but I don't know, maybe there'd be a better system. But definitely Ethiopia is definitely messed up. Brad Studelberg says, a huge problem with doping and performance-enhancing drugs is that they set an impossible bar for anyone who wants to do it right. If you compare yourself to this facade, you'll never live up. It's like an airbrush cover of a magazine or most Instagram posts. It's all fake. And, you know, that's definitely the case. I know I listened to the Lance Armstrong's Move On podcast, where he's got Jonathan Broyneal and George Hincapie on there. And they fully admit, you know, what was going on back in their time in cycling and stuff. But you know what? People love baseball. Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds were hitting homers, and second basemen were hitting 40 homers a year, you know, all juiced up. And I remember, you know, they, one of the stories that they did say was, I think it was George Hincapie, he said that when they went over to their 7-Eleven team that first year, and they had some success to Tour de France, but they also realized that if they didn't go along with the whole doping regime, they were going to be going back home and never competing in Europe. And so, you know, they made hard choices. Whether they're right choices or not, it's kind of like what Brad's saying here. You know, when you've got people using these performance-enhancing drugs, it's like, you know, what do you do? And, of course, cycling and track and field have a bad reputation, but it's because they actually do testing. You know, you're high yourself if you think that there's not a whole lot of drug use in the NCAA football, basketball, and same thing with professional football, basketball, baseball. In those, you know, you got their unions are protecting the athletes, rightly so. And, of course, in the college game, you know, the NCAA doesn't want to have scandals. They want to keep making all that money off those kids and not paying them. So, you know, when I was, again, coaching here in high school over a decade ago, God, now 15 years ago, I heard about roid use in football pretty rampant, and there was teams here in Bakersfield, their track teams were definitely roided out to the point where the girls be making fun of the guys, you know, the acne on the back and all kinds of crazy shit. So, you know, they always say if you ain't cheating, you're not trying. So it's kind of sad, but it's just part of our reality. Scrolling up here, some good news, training and tactics keys succeeding in the final few weeks of your season. Some tips for high school runners and anybody. I'll definitely be doing a video on that in the future. And then, of course, this is kind of good news. They're going to now have the prelims in the NCAA Track and Field Championships. They finally got it sanctioned. You know, they've been putting on meets at Hayward Field and Drake Relays and showing that it's working. So now they're going to have the 48 athletes going to the meet, which will be nice, trying to get back to reality. Here in California, our state meet is canceled, but it's not really because of, it's kind of COVID, but it's more that there's 10 sections in California, and four of them had already decided not to have postseason championships, so they wouldn't be sending anybody to state, and so the call was not to have state, since you almost had half the team, half the sections not going. So that makes the Arcadia Invitational kind of the new state meet, and they just tweeted out that they've accepted entries by school. The 2021 Arcadia Invitational are now posted. And I remember when I was coaching at Bakersfield High, it was like Christmas morning or college acceptance letter day. You know, we'd be re-hitting, refresh, and seeing if any of our athletes made it to Arcadia. And it's definitely a difficult meet to make. So that's kind of all of Endurance Twitter. I wanted to go over here. Let me see if I can get there. Instagram, got to flip it around. I like this, and I constantly tell athletes, you know, everybody covets what the elites are doing. Oh, I couldn't possibly do 100, 120 mile weeks. And I'm like, yeah, because they're fast, you know, but they're only running 10, 14 hours a week, and you can do that. And then this article is kind of cool. Strava posted it talking about effort, and it says, comparing yourself with elite marathoners isn't usually as inspiring exercise. Strava's relative effort feature reveals a surprising insight. Winning a marathon might actually be easier than finishing in the middle of the pack. Okay, it may not be easier, but the runners at the front of the pack may be putting less stress on their body compared to those finishing back in the back. And so two examples, you know, 2019, Desi Linden finished sixth, and her relative effort was a massive 2:44. Susie Chan rolled in over an hour later, but her relative effort was a historic 4:55. That's because relative effort is, well, relative. It's based on your own fitness level, calculated based on how much time you spend in different heart zones. It's fun to pit yourself against pros, but this feature is even more valuable, preparing your own efforts. Wondering if you went harder during your workout this week than last? How about that 6 mile trial run? And et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, that's one of the things I also tell people all the time. It's like people go, oh, you know, so-and-so, you know, the Kenyans or East Africans or whatever, they're running 120, 140 miles a week. And I go, yeah, but they're not putting, you know, it takes me, you know, 30 hours to get 100 miles in. I've done it. I've been interested in doing it again. But you got to realize, like, sometimes people are like, oh, you know, they're, you know, it's like I was at the race last weekend and the fast guys are doing 100 miles in under 13 hours. Well, it takes me 26 or 27. That's my fastest. And I'm putting in just as much hard work. I'm just doing it twice as long. And not saying about myself, but anybody out there, I mean, yeah, if you're just totally taking it easy. But generally, you know, it hurts when you're fast. I mean, I used to be a sub-3-hour marathoner, and those races hurt. But now I'm taking 5-6 hours, and I'm putting in just as much effort, just twice as long. So don't sell yourself short. Then I want to just kind of scroll up here, a little bit of action. I made some little videos from the U.S. Track and Field. It's hard to believe it was a week ago. We were driving to the race. But let me scroll up here. I wanted to talk about this here, but they wrote another article about it. Kipchoge and them, Kenyans have gotten their first vaccine doses, which is good news. I'd like to hear that. So they'll be all ready for the Olympics come this summer. But this was kind of the, there's me where I made my final table. But this is going on. Tomorrow, it says, there's going to be a meet tomorrow. It's the last chance to try and make the USA 24-hour team. And so this is the selection process. The championships is hopefully going to be in October in Romania. To qualify, an athlete must do at least 145 miles of male, 130 miles for females, and we have qualifiers right now. Camille Herron, of course, won the thing last time. She's at 167.
Pam Smith, 153. In fact, Pam was at the race last weekend, crewing for people. Micah Morgan, 148. She came in third last week. Marissa Lysak came in fourth, female. She's at 148 also. Courtney DeWalter's on the list. She obviously hasn't ran anything. And Whitney Richmond is 139. So someone's going to be shooting, try and bump them off the team. Way back in 2014, I think it was, Stacy Costa, who I coach, got to 130 miles at the Dome. She was sixth on the list, ready to go to Worlds, and then the last minute she got bumped, and she was ended up being an alternate. Same thing happened with the Jester. He was sixth on that team, and he got bumped. I remember that time, though, it really sucked that they let people qualify like within a month or two of the World Championships, which didn't really make sense, and the people who did qualify didn't do very well in the World Championships. So at least qualification window's closing early now so that they can recover and do well. And then the top men qualifiers, of course, Oliver LeBon, 171. Jacob Jackson, who was at the 100 last weekend and came in second. Harvey Lewis, 160. You know, he did the FKT of Badwater to Whitney, broke that FKT. Jacob Moss, 159. Nick Curry, 155. And Ryan Montgomery, 154. And then Rolf Schmidt, 145. So it looks like he got to beat 154.71. I know Bob Hearn, who is in his 50s, is trying to make the team. Last time making the team, he barely missed by like a tenth of a mile of getting on the championship team. And so I'm sure he's going to be going for that. But he's also going to be going after some of Roy Peering's championship marks, national records and stuff like that. So I'm sure he'll probably catch some of those. Roy, of course, was at the USA Track and Field 100 last weekend, and he went sub-24, and I think he's 72 years old. So some good stuff. Definitely going to have a good weekend of track and field action. In fact, we scroll down here. This is the place they're going to be doing this race. It's going to be at Alexander Central High School in North Carolina. It'll be the location for last chance to make the team. We expect to battle on the men's side. Quarter mile track will host a stellar lineup, including Jacob Moss, Dan McGowan, Bob Hearn, Show Gray, Isaac Schultz, Nick Curry, Mark Manser, Patrick Mullins, and Lee Wintertaker. Joe Feegis is going to be doing some race previews, so I'll definitely try and find that. So they don't list the, start at 8 o'clock, timing, and all that kind of stuff. And there's their picture of their track. So that's some endurance news for tonight. And as always, stay healthy, be boring. And please subscribe.